When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
KM to 2 a.m. I just had a hiccup right there. That was weird. A KM to 2 a.m. Hopefully I don't start hiccuping. The Yankees have a bunch of hiccups. Ah, there it is. I get the hiccups right as I started. It's just a bad sign. Well, hopefully you're riding home from Citi Field. 31,000 plus in attendance for soccer jersey night. And hopefully you didn't waste any time watching the New York Yankees and Carlos Rodon. We're going to talk about all of it. The hiccups. This has happened to me three times. This has happened to me three times on air. All right, come on, y'all. Get it together. How do I handle that? Do I have to hold my breath on air? No, it's impossible, right? See, this is when you need a co-host. Yikes! Off to a hot start. Like Carlos Rodon. Oh, I can't even do this. Rami, you're going to have to help me out, bro. I'm going to have to like hold my breath and then jump in when I can. Okay, let's see what I can say. So the Make It Happen Mets. The Mets are running this game back from last week. If you could recall. I'll have to stay on the cough button. The Mets are running the game back from last week. Jose Quintana gave you seven innings. Jose Quintana didn't give up anything. And Adrian Hauser ends up giving up the one run where the Nationals defeated the Mets 1-0 in that last game to split the series. And that's a game that you wanted. That's a game that you needed. But yet and still, they run it back tonight and the Mets are up 6-2 on the season series. And when you show up to Citi Field for soccer jersey night and these guys come back home and you forget about the road trip and splitting two series and going 500, whatever, you know, the focus is about winning games and this is terrible. And if you listen to my show last night, I talked about how it's obvious that the writing is on the wall, like the writing is on the wall for the Mets to be buyers at the deadline, not sellers. They're obviously going for it. And Brandon Nimmo pretty much told you so last night. What did you see today? You see the Mets make a move. You see, and I know a lot of you guys are like, oh, this guy's no good. Well, a lot of your guys coming out of that bullpen are no good. Last night I said, don't wait. Everybody's looking for the same thing. Everybody's looking for pitching. Everybody's looking for bullpen arms. David Stearns, it's on you. Use your connections and do something. Add to this bullpen. It's been terrible. So here comes Phil Maton from Tampa for cash or a player to be named later. And there was a lot of conversation about what you'd have to give up and like not taking away from this team's future. You don't have to. Like, you can get a couple veteran arms. You can get a couple different arms to come out of that bullpen without giving up your top prospects. 888-808-1019. So good energy, good vibes right there that the Mets come out with that news today that, okay, yeah, you know, they're taking on the remainder of this guy's salary. Don't worry about it. His ERA. You hope that he gets with your group and can provide you some depth with that bullpen who desperately needs it. So good vibes there. Soccer jersey night. And 31,000 plus come out to Citi Field. Club going up on a Tuesday. Like, that's solid. That's great. There was like 16,000 people. There was about half of that showing up to these games 2 months ago. So the vibes are right. The energy is right. And the Mets go out there right away and make it happen. In the second inning, they put up a four spot behind their two all-stars. Their two all-star snubs, should I say. Two guys that they want in that damn game. They're making noise. They're making it loud. They're making it obvious that they should be the reserves. And with potentially Mookie Betts and Fernando Tatis Jr. coming out, you could see those two guys slotting in there. Lindor singles and Nimmo homers. The Mets go up 4-0. It was quiet for a while till the sixth inning. And then Lindor adds another homer. And our very own Tommy Lugauer puts out there that Lindor is now in the MVP conversation. And I can't say no. In theory, 500 teams don't usually have the MVP, but we're at the halfway point, and Lindor has gotten hot as the leadoff hitter, and I'm not taking anything away from that guy. For as much nonsense as he has to take, as much criticism as he has to hear early on in the season, he has really turned his season around. Obviously, defensively, you know what you're going to get out of him, and you saw it tonight. And this guy goes 3-for-4 tonight. This guy goes deep tonight for his 16th homer. He's hitting over 250, a 776 OPS. I'm sure if you look at Fangraphs and look at the numbers, he's up there with shortstops. He's up there with players in the National League. And for a guy that hasn't made an all-star game yet as a Met, I think that he's on his way to being a reserve and getting that honor. And I think Brandon Nimmo, another guy who hasn't made the all-star game, he's very close as well. So the Mets go out there and handle business. Obviously, they put up 7 runs, and you get 3 ribbies from Lindor, 3 ribbies from Nimmo. And how can quick pitch tonight ignore the fact that these guys are balling like that, trying to get into the all-star game? SportsCenter, I'm watching SNY's post-game right now, Mets post-game right now. You know, they're talking about Jose Quintana, but of course the focus is these two guys. As you saw them pictured with the OMG sign tonight, they go out there and handle business. Jeff McNeil gets a ribby as well. The Mets go on to defeat the Washington Nationals 7-5. Of course, the bullpen is shaky. It's rare that they don't give up runs. I mean, Adam Ottavino goes in and does what he does. He gets one out and gives up 2 hits, 2 earned runs, a homer. And Reed Garrett, I feel like he's just overused. He was so solid in the beginning of the year. He was someone that people were talking about as an all-star in the beginning of the year. And now, you know, you got to break glass and in case of emergency, bring in Edwin Diaz and sound the trumpets because he's not able to finish the job. Edwin Diaz comes in and gets the last out after he gives up 3 earned runs. So it is what it is. It's a win. And you're now looking at a Mets team that is at 500, and you're hoping with this homestand before the All-Star break, they can win these series and go into the All-Star break above 500. And you feel good about the fact that your organization is going for it. I know Phil Maton might not make anybody feel great about the move, but you're not done. There's 3 weeks till the deadline. It's a move. It's an addition to the bullpen that's better than plenty of the guys that you've seen come out of the bullpen, not just this year and also in years past. I think that it's a sign that they're going to be buyers, and then they're not done. They can add another arm, maybe 2. They're just going to be careful with what they give up. They're not going to give up any pieces of their future for this run. 888-808-1019. Can I hold my breath? It's not going to help. It's not going to help. All right, now I got to talk about the Stankies, the Jankies. Every Yankee hater in the world is absolutely loving this right now. And every Yankee fan in the world is questioning everyone and everything. And the vibes in Yankee Land South, the home away from home, Tampa, where Yankee fans go to spring training. A lot of Yankee fans live. The Tampa Tarpons, the Tampa Yankees. And, I mean, in that building tonight, there was a bunch of Yankees fans. And in that building tonight was Hal Steinbrenner, Brian Cashman, and associates, right? Ahead of the MLB draft coming up next week, or coming up, I don't know if it's next week. I think it's this week going into the All-Star festivities. They're preparing for the draft, and they all have places, I'm sure, that they either own or that they stay in Tampa. Like I say, it's a home away from home for the Yankees. And for Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman to accompany the Yankees on the trip, you've seen this before, right? Cashman popping out, and that's a way of saying, like, hey, let's lock in. Let's get back to business. They did not tonight. Carlos Rodon, come on down. Like, this guy, bro, I just, like, the fake tough guy thing, I can't with. And the fake mad and emotion after the pressure's off because you blew it, I can't with. He's got to lock in and have some kind of a poker face. He's got to control his emotions a lot better. I'm glad he's not crying, but at the same time, like, I can't watch this dude anymore. So let's quickly go through the Yankees game, which was literally over as soon as he gave up those four runs. You knew it. I knew it. He knew it. The team knew it. Everybody knew it because this team is cooked right now. They are defeated right now. It does not matter if Brian Cashman is there, Hal Steinbrenner is there. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They're in a bad one right now, and it seems like the only guy that's really like locked in every at bat and, you know, trying to be a hero is Ben Rice. So Gleyber Torres comes back, groin injury. Gleyber's back in the lineup, and Gleyber makes us feel good. Right, first inning, they're able to scratch a run across the board, and it's like, wow, a first inning ribby by Gleyber Torres, and the Yankees have the lead. And you didn't even get but 5 minutes to enjoy that lead. It was gone so fast. Rodon is like, I don't know, bro. He's reverting back to what he was last year. I think he's a head case. I don't see him working here in New York. Because I just see every time he gets the ball, it's when we need a stopper, right? We're trying to, like, not get swept or start a new series on the right foot. Or stop a losing streak, and this guy cannot be that. He's supposed to be a ace behind Cole. He's paid like one. He's a former All-Star. He's a guy that you thought was going to come in here and be a dominant lefty, and I think now we've seen him for a full year, if you count the second half of last year and now the first half of this year. What do you grade this guy as? I was trying to not say he was a bust, a terrible signing, but I understand all of you are saying that now, and who am I to not be with you on that? He started off pretty good this year because everything was good. When everything is good, it's easy. When there's no pressure, it's easy for him. Like tonight, I just heard on the Yankees post game as they ended, someone sent a tweet in like, oh, yeah, well, Rodon settled in. Yeah, he always settles in when the pressure's off. After he gives it up in the first inning, it's easy to lock in, strike out the side, not give up runs, only have one hit through the next three innings. But man, Gleyber Torres comes through, so you're happy for Gleyber, and we'll talk about Gleyber tonight in the trade deadline. They can't trade Rodon. But Rodon, you think, okay, they spotted you a run, bro. You have some run support. But this guy's feeble. He's just weak. I heard Susan talking about him going from, you know, his warm-up and then through the national anthem and then losing it, like, you know, between the Yankees hitting first and him going out there. That fastball that he throws is a BP fastball, and he can't locate it. It's like he's throwing the ball down and into these guys. They're hitting it. So before you know it, it's a Yandy Diaz single over Gleyber's head. Randy Arozarena doubles into the left field corner, and Verdugo's sleeping. He can't field it cleanly and throw it in fast enough. It's 1-1 tie game. And then Ahmed Rosario's single, I don't even remember. And Isak Paredes, their only all-star on the Tampa Bay Rays, takes him deep. It's 4-1, and you knew that was game right there. 888-808-1019. You knew it. I knew it. You knew it because the way that this team is going after an off day, being back in familiar territory where they literally have spring training, where these guys have their food spots. I was looking at some of these guys' Instagrams. I think I saw Marcus Stroman and Trevino. I think they went somewhere to eat dinner They had Stroman's wine. That's what I was talking about last night. Hey, lock in back in Tampa. The friendly confines of Tampa, where you literally go every year, February, March. Like, I don't know, man. They're cooked. I'm ready for football to start. We had Hard Knocks episode 2 tonight. I couldn't watch that yet. And we've got Receivers starting on Netflix tomorrow. And as much as I love the Yankees, I love football. And I don't love watching the Yankees struggle like that. You know, you guys take three hours out of your night every night to watch that. You know, it's crazy. The off day last night is a relief. How did we get here so fast? And I know. It's only the first half, right? Oh, this too shall pass. I'll tell you that this too shall pass. But this has been a long stretch of bad baseball, a long stretch of losing. And, I mean, I don't see them breaking out of it before this All-Star break because they're not good in their division. I can pull up the numbers of the Yankees in the AL East. The Tampa Bay Rays are a team right beneath them that's like, are we going to be a postseason team if we go on a run? They don't fear the Yankees ever. Kevin Cash definitely doesn't fear the Yankees ever. And then you have the Baltimore Orioles getting smacked by the Chicago Cubs 9-2 tonight. And I can't even celebrate that. I go, go Cubs, go on Twitter. And someone's like, oh, yeah, you're still dreaming about winning the division? Of course. I'm like, what? Of course I am. It's always darkest before dawn. And this is dark, man. This is a bad June swoon into July. This isn't the gauntlet anymore. The gauntlet revealed that this team is flawed, that this is not a well-constructed roster. They have so many holes to fix at the deadline. And as much as you love the Yankees and I love the Yankees, you have to be crazy to think that they're going to be able to plug all of those holes and fix this team and just become a contender again. You realize early on in the season, that's fool's gold. You realize early on in the season, they've done that multiple years. They have a lot of issues, man. Carlos Rodon is making a lot of money to consistently go out there and give it up right away and then slam iPads and baseball bats and look like he's got an attitude talking to Garrett Cole in the dugout. Look like he's got an attitude when Boone comes to talk to him. Enough, yo. Enough. And I get it as well with you guys talking about the manager, right? The manager can't tighten him up. There is no tightening this guy up. He's a fake tough guy. He's a big dog once he already blew the game. So that's where I'm at, man. 888-808-1019. Shout out to Ben Rice. I don't have a Ben Rice t-shirt yet. RotoWear guys got to send me that. Usually I'll come in repping whoever did something tonight. At least that kid got a hold of one when they went to the bullpen, but it's just not good enough. You can't score more than 3 runs. Remember last year me saying, 3 is the magic number. Like, are we back to the 82-80 Yankees with Soto and Judge? Ew. They got to wake up. I guess maybe, Cashman and Howell are stepping into the Tropicana clubhouse tonight to tell these guys, this is unacceptable. This isn't good enough. You got to figure it out. It's on Stroman tomorrow. So here we go. All right, I'm taking your calls. You know the number to dial. I'm going to hold my breath, drink some water, do some push-ups or something. Keith McPherson on the Fan. This is KM to 2 a.m. We'll be back right after this.